somebody's offering you advice, take a look at their life. Are they a mature Christian? Are they active in a church, serving, giving? You can see spiritual fruit in their life. If you can't, friend, you shouldn't listen to them, because obviously their advice isn't bearing fruit in their life. Why would you take advice from somebody that's not bearing fruit? Find somebody whose life is bearing fruit, and you can go to them and say, hey, got this situation, what do you think I ought to do?
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. On today's program, one of David McGee's assisting pastors is with us. Welcome, Pastor Neil.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. Today, as we continue to dig through God's Word, we're going to be talking about being careful that we don't take bad counsel or advice. And Bob, do you know the best way to do that?
Well, just if it sounds good to you, just receive the advice, whether or not it's in the Bible or not.
No way, Bob. When we get advice, when we get counsel, it's always good to look at God's Word to make sure that it lines up with the things that the Lord tells us to do.
I think you're exactly right. And let's listen more about that and how that works in our lives as David McGee shares verse by verse through 1 Samuel chapter 26.
So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 26. It says, now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding in the hill of Hachilah, opposite Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Jeshimon, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. And David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, and his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with a spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Verse 10, David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. David was not wishing this on him. David was saying, you know what? God's going to take care of him. God is going to take care of him. Now, quick review. Saul is trying to kill David. David knows this. Saul is asleep at David's feet with one of his soldiers right there with a spear willing to take him out. And David says, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God to deal with this man. You have to ask yourself, as you look at this story, and again, there was a similar story a few chapters ago. Why are there two stories like this in the book of Samuel that have so many parallels? Whenever you see this in the Word of God, what it means is it's very, very important, and there's something that we need to grab a hold of in this. Let's remember, when this book was written roughly 3,000 years ago, they copied it by hand. The scroll for 1 Samuel alone would have been 35, 40 feet long. Probably was two scrolls, actually. And yet, God wanted to record two very similar stories. Why? Because God wants us to learn a lesson about our enemies. Life lesson here, trust God with your enemies. Trust God with your enemies. It's one thing to trust God with your friends. It's a little bit harder to trust God with your children. But trusting Him with your enemies, that's a real litmus test of our faith in God. That's a real challenge, isn't it? Here's part of the challenge. Do you understand sometimes you don't know who your enemies are? I don't mean to make you paranoid or anything, but there's some people in your life right now that you think they're your friends. They're not your friends. There's probably some people in your life right now that you think they're your enemies. They're not your enemies. Trust God in either situation. And we have the model of Jesus. And this is very convicting. Because as you look at the interaction Jesus had with Judas, man, you realize some things. In that upper room, when Jesus announced that somebody was going to betray him, they didn't know who it was. Now, we read that and we go, wow, how could they not know who it was? Obviously, it was Judas. You know, and we think that way because we have this, we get this picture that, you know, Judas was this guy with a, you know, black cape and dark sunglasses that, you know, whenever he laughed, he was like, you know, and so, you know, when we read that story, we think, well, Jesus is probably the guy with a weird laugh, you know, just look for him. But he was one of the more religious people in that group. And it wasn't obvious to the group who was betraying him. Why? Because Jesus didn't treat Judas any different than the other ones. But Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. And Jesus still didn't treat him any different. Man, that's challenging, isn't it? You realize you and I sometimes treat people different for what we think they might do? But Jesus knew what Judas would do and didn't treat him any different. See, here's the thing. Somewhere along the line in the last 2,000 years, Christianity has begun to think that we got to search out and destroy the enemies of the faith. It's part of our job. Figure out who the enemies of the faith are, take them out. Have pickets, have protests, boycotts, those sorts of things. I think that's selling short our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing. See, I think far too often we try to identify the enemies of Christianity, and in doing so, we alienate a bunch of people we're supposed to be ministering to. Now, I like what Pastor Chuck Smith says. He says, you know, the church, if you think of a traffic accident, and you get to a traffic accident, the church, the people of the church are supposed to be like the EMTs. They're supposed to be the guys like in the ambulance that show up to care for the wounded. But too often we show up to the scene like policemen. I want to give you a picture. Follow me on this. Can you imagine an ambulance worker coming to a traffic accident and, you know, comes up and the man's laying on the ground bleeding and the emergency worker comes up and goes, yeah, it's going a little fast there, wasn't it, buddy? Didn't you have your seatbelt on, I guess? Been drinking a little? That's what we do. It's the same man. What happened? You made a mess of yourself. I'll help you. I'll be there for you. You need a hand. Let me help you. That's what the church is supposed to be. Now, if you're sitting there going, now, Pastor, you're going too far this time. Now, you need to reread the parable of the tares and the wheat that it talks about in Matthew 13. When Jesus himself says, don't be trying to separate them. You can't tell the wheat from the tares. And if you try to tear the wheat, the tares out of the wheat, you're going to mess up the wheat. I did a recent study of that parable and just got all freshly convicted. Because a lot of times we think that's our job. And look at this chapter. Do you realize David never talks about how messed up Saul is? Not one time. Was Saul messed up? Golly, you could write a book on that. Well, there is a book, actually, on how messed up Saul is. But David never talks about it. Man, that is so convicting. David never speaks ill of this man. Why? Because Saul's still his leader. Saul's trying to kill him. You want to talk about good reasons to talk about your leadership, but he's still not doing it. Why do I mention that? Because it amazes me the way that people who say they follow Jesus, they speak ill of their boss, they speak ill of their pastor, they speak ill of their spouse, they speak ill of their parents. That shouldn't be. Well, you don't know. Well, you know, I don't know, but we're looking at a story where this man was trying to kill him. And he still didn't say anything bad about it. Why? Because David trusted God with his enemies. He said, God's going to deal with you. I don't have to throw a spear through you. Now, last chapter, David realized this once again when he was dealing with Nabal. And he was going to deal with Nabal, and he ended up not dealing with Nabal. And guess who did deal with Nabal? God did. Now, let me ask you a question. The enemies that are in your life, and some of us have enemies, do you want to deal with them? Or do you want to let God deal with them? I'd rather let God deal with them. I can trust that God will deal with them. Maybe not on my timetable. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next year. Might be a long time. But God will straighten the situation out. And notice something. David did not trust the counsel of Abishai. Now see, here's Saul getting bad counsel. Come on, David's out in the desert. Let's go get him. And Saul listens. David gets bad counsel. Abishai, hey, let's take him out. One shot. Boom. And David doesn't listen. Be careful of bad counsel. Be careful of bad counsel. People are always willing to offer advice. But you know what? Somebody's offering you advice. Take a look at their life. Are they a mature Christian? Can you see fruit in their life? Are they, you know, active in a church, serving, giving? Are they, you know, you can see spiritual fruit in their life? If you can't, friend, you shouldn't listen to them. Because obviously their advice isn't bearing fruit in their life. Why would you take advice from somebody that's not bearing fruit? Find somebody whose life is bearing fruit and you can go to them and say, hey, got this situation, what do you think I ought to do?
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you're not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 11, David continues. It says, the Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head and they got away. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Now when I read this, he kind of answered a question because I kind of thought, you know, should David have really been wandering around the camp of Saul holding a spear in his hand, tempting himself? Well, apparently God had led him into the camp because the Lord gave him a heavy sleep. Let me deal with one thing, because I've heard people, there's some teachers out there that have, they just teach heresy. They teach, it's horrible doctrinal things. And then when somebody comes along and says, what are you talking about with this? This is unbiblical. You shouldn't be teaching this. And they go to this verse. Touch not the Lord's anointed. You know? Let's understand something. David was under Saul's authority. He was under Saul's authority. This is his leader. And he's saying, this is the man that God has anointed to be a leader over me in my life, not just some other person. So I think that's kind of a twist and out of context. But it does mean that whoever's been placed in leadership above you has been placed there by God. Now, some of you probably work for ungodly people. And you're going, no way. How could God have this person over me? Well, you know what? God can produce something good. As you live your Christian life out in front of them, maybe it's going to cause them to begin to ask themselves some questions about your faith. Notice what Abishai says when they get there. God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. I think that much is true. But then Abishai makes a mistake. He assumes that the reason that Saul has been delivered in their hands is so that they can kill him. The reason Saul's been delivered into his hands is to test David. It's a test. Remember that. Stuff happens to you in life. It's a test. It's just a test. and you will be tested, friend. And Abishai's going, oh, isn't God good? Let's kill him. What about, see, and here's the thing. You can mistakenly think God is putting you in a situation. Like, friend, let me ask you a question. What do you do when you're somewhere and they give you too much change back?
Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord gives to me and takes from you. Blessed be the name of the Lord, you know?
Some people think that. Oh, they gave me, they gave me too much change. Praise God. Oh, look, I only ordered 4 burgers and they gave me 7. Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. It's a test. It's a test. I remember being convicted. Remember back when there were phone booths? There's not very many of them anymore because of cell phones. But, you know, there used to be a phone booth everywhere. I went to use the phone one day, you know, I was on the phone. And I stuck my finger into the coin return slot. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I'm seeing if there's a coin in there. Did you put a coin in there? Huh? Ooh. I'm looking for something that's not mine, aren't I? God, yep, you sure are. Oh, man. And I've been places where, you know, somebody's gave me too much change back or whatever, and I'll say, oh, you know what? You gave me too much money back. And the responses are interesting. I've had some varied responses. I had, you know, one person said, oh, that's very nice, you know. Had another person say, why'd you tell me? I said, well, because I follow Jesus. I want to be honest and I want to be real. They were like, wow. Now, maybe that person had a misconception about who Christians are, that I was able to break down just because they gave me an extra quarter, extra dollar, and I was willing to give it back. It was a test. I haven't passed every test, but another time somebody did that, and when I gave the money back, they said, oh, you are such a good and honest person. I said, wait a minute. I'm not really. I used to be a horrible person. As a matter of fact, if you'd have turned your head, I'd have been in the till before, but I'm following Jesus now, and Jesus has done something in my life. He's changed me. And he's changed me into this person who wants to do something right. I have the desire to do something right. So these times when you find a Saul sleeping at your feet, don't automatically assume, oh, praise God, let's kill him. God's given me Saul right into my hand. This is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. It might be a test. Now, I'll tell you what, how we handle our enemies tells a lot about us. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, you know what, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. That's the test. If you're just nice to the people that are nice to you, no big deal. Everybody does that. Jesus said, but if you love and you pray and you do good to those who are evil to you, that'll show the world something. Verse 13, now David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great distance being between them. David's using wisdom. David in this whole situation is acting in wisdom. And notice something too, and let's review. David knows he's about to be king. He knows as soon as Saul's taken off of the stage, he's going to be king. So not only is the thing of Saul trying to kill him and him being tempted to wipe Saul out, he's also being tempted from the sense that as soon as that happens, he's going to advance in a major fashion in his life. But he's not willing to lose his heart for the Lord, his principles, his ethics, if you will, his integrity, so that he can become king. Makes you think, what are you willing to do to get a job promotion? Make the next step up the ladder. David's not willing to do those things. Verse 14, David called out to the people, to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who are you calling out to the king? Verse 15, so David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. And this thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was by his head. This is an amazing thing. Now notice, David is not being shy about slamming Abner. Are you a man? I mean, this is not, he's messing with Abner. If he's willing to mess with Abner, why is he not messing with Saul? Because he's still under Saul's authority. So you could go, David was just a really nice guy. Isn't he sweet? Well, no, not really. I mean, he might have been a nice guy, but that's not why he was nice to Saul. He was under Saul's submission. You remove that leadership thing, he's ready to mess with Abner. And as a matter of fact, look at David's loyalty. David is mad at Abner for not protecting Saul, the man who's trying to kill David. Golly, David was an awesome man, awesome leader. The spear. Understand, if you're joining us for the first time in a while tonight or first time ever, the spear plays an important part. Why? Because Saul has tried to kill David twice before with a spear. In 1 Samuel 18:11, it says, "And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice." A chapter later, same thing happens, different occasion. 1 Samuel 19:10, "Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall, so David fled and escaped that night." Saul tried to kill David twice. And there's that spear. I think it's probably the same spear. Matter of fact, Saul later, because he just carried the spear around everywhere and felt like he had to throw it at somebody, later, 1 Samuel 20:32 and 33, says, "And Jonathan, his son, answered Saul, his father, and said to him," talking about David, "why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast the spear at him, his son, to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David." You know what I've learned? If you carry around spears, you're going to throw them at somebody. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing as believers and followers of Jesus. And some of us have honed the fine art of throwing spears at other people. And Jesus is saying, put the spears down. If you're going to follow me, put the spear down. Part of David's training in leadership was not to learn how to throw a spear, but learn how not to throw a spear. Because if you walk around with a spear, friend, sooner or later, you're going to throw them at somebody you love. It's going to happen. Put the spear down. The amazing thing is David is refusing to use a weapon that Saul was willing to use against him. Now, what possible practical application could that have? You ever get mad because somebody gossips about you? You ever gossip about anybody? As a matter of fact, when you hear somebody has said something about you, there is that moment when somebody is relaying this information where you're going, "Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Let me tell you about them." But if you do that, you're guilty of the same crime. And there's something of integrity about David that he's not willing to do that. He's willing to rise above it. And I think long before David ever dealt with a Goliath, David dealt with the giants in his own life, a fear and insecurity and running his mouth about other people and trying to throw spears at people. He killed the giants in his own life. And when that happened, God started bringing giants, other giants for him to kill too, knowing he had developed a real leader. Verse 17, "Then Saul knew David's voice and said, 'Is that your voice, my son David?' And David said, 'It is my voice, my lord, O king.'" Let's remember, Saul is David's father-in-law. Verse 18, "And he said, 'Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. If I've done wrong, I'll make an offering as unto the Lord. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods.'" One of the things that was really bumming David about, he was bumming him out about all this, it was the fact that he couldn't be in Israel, which was the land that God had given to them as an inheritance. Not only that, but he was having to run around. He couldn't be in those places of worship. And it would appear from this statement that more than being in the desert, more than running around, the thing that really bothered him is the fact that he couldn't have fellowship with other people seeking the Lord in his own land. Does it bother you to miss church? It should bother you.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, Praying Through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.